clarity so we can all see and hear the truth therein and be edified and built up. And if there's anyone lost here today, that they could be saved by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks and praise for this opportunity we have to gather. And as we've assembled together, there have been mentions of prayer requests, and what hadn't been mentioned are those other things that are upon our hearts, that we'd like to take this time and opportunity to lift those things up to you and pray that you work mightily in each given one as it is brought before you. We give you thanks for that privilege of having prayer and the fact that you do hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. And Lord, we do look forward to the day when we all get to heaven. And we're not even patiently awaiting it. We are anxiously awaiting it. And we look forward to the glory that's set before us. Until that time, as we go through this present evil world, I pray that we'd be built up in the faith, be strong in the faith, and have the confidence of always knowing, no matter what besets us, that the cause in all things is Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, it is Super Bowl Friday. And Friday. That tells you where this message is going. Who are you pulling for, by the way? Berto? Okay. All right. Well, anyhow, I wore the tie because we all know in reality I wore the Saints tie for the fact that the Saints should have been in the Super Bowl, but they were ripped off by the commissioner. So I'm just stating that for everybody to know. That commissioner had it in for him, and if it wasn't for him, we would just run the tables every game, all year, and everything else. Just a little, but we won't go there. So anyhow, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to kind of review a couple things here and just move forward. And in so doing, hopefully we can unveil some more truths and connect the message dots that need to be connected so we can have something to see that's in really good picture of clarity concerning the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So we see Paul addressing some things here. Like verse 9, we'll just cover a couple of things here. But as it's written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Now we just sang a song about streets of gold and things of that nature. Streets of gold do show up in your Bible. However, they're relegated to the earth. And in all truth and all reality, we don't know what our home looks like. We have no record in the book as to what it's going to look like and what it's going to be like. Now, we do understand that it's God's domain, so things associated with God, like love and peace and joy, will be there. But as far as a descriptiveness, you go buy a house or something, you want to see blueprints or you want to see the house that you're going to buy, right? Well, we have a home that we're going to. The Scripture doesn't lay that out. And so when you go into that thought process, what happens is many preachers bring out this verse and attach that thought to this verse by saying, I have not seen nor ye heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. And then they'll follow it up with, well, you can't know what's out there. It just, you can't see it, you can't imagine it, you can't imagine the sounds that you're going to, it's just beyond compare. And even though there is a truth to that, that's not what the verse is talking about. Because the next verse, in verse 10, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Capital S comes from God Almighty. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. And so he communicated that to the Apostle Paul, and consequently, Paul penned down 13 epistles. Well, when you go to those 13 epistles, you don't get a blueprint of what heaven is like. You don't have a picture anywhere in the Bible about where our home is. So what he's talking about, God hath revealed them unto us, are the things that are for us, and in particular, it's the gospel. Because the gospel was a mystery. The gospel that Paul had, no eye could see, ear hear, or enter the heart of man, that God would justify ungodly mankind by faith in Jesus Christ. It wasn't pinned down by the prophets and explained that a bunch of Gentiles today could be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. It could never be seen. And the Bible says, had it been able to be seen before Christ went to the cross, if the devil could have seen that Christ's death was for our sins, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. So God hid that. But now he has revealed it unto us by the Spirit. And so Paul says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him, which is what we've looked at the last few weeks, the spirit of man. Because so many people want to correct the Bible, King James at that, the others can be corrected, this cannot, is that, well, God messed up here in that the spirit of man is mentioned in the verse with a small s. Then you come down, there's a spirit of God. And then he says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You see, that should be a capital S. No, it's not to be a capital S. There's a reason why it's small. It has to do with the words that God breathed out into the ears of the Apostle Paul. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's the words, and that's what spirit is. It's breath, it's air. Matter of fact, the Greek spelling is P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, like pneumatic, which has to do with air, pneumatic tires, pneumatic tool, pneumonia, which has to do with your breathing and what have you, has to do with air. So what do? We communicate with one another with this spirit that's in us. Keeps us alive. When that spirit leaves, that air that's in us, it's over. Goodbye. Plan the funeral. So we communicate by that speaking through our throats to one another. What things know the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him? So we communicate. So God communicated to man with his spirit, small s, but it was an inspiration behind the Spirit, small s, with the capital S, the Holy Spirit. So we understand these things by the Spirit of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And folks, you got the explanation right here in your lap. First Timothy, I'm sorry. What did I say? I told you it was going to be rough. First Timothy. At least you're paying attention. Oh, some of you were. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So you see a few things here that Paul's writing about, as far as the Spirit speaking expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now why are they going to depart from the faith? Well, he says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, it's interesting to note, seducing spirits. Well, the spirits there have to do with words that come out of men's mouth. In other words, it's not a situation, folks, where I'm up here preaching and all of a sudden this ghastly Casper-looking thing drifts in and starts getting you to depart from the faith of some kind of way or manner. It's a situation where there are those, there are men that preach. What things know the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? There are going to be preachers that are going to have a seducing spirit word about them that will cause people to depart from the faith. They're going to speak things that are not in line with the word of God. And it's going to remove people from the faith. That's what Paul is warning Timothy about. And so he says they'll preach that. In this day and time of when Paul is writing Timothy, the Jews had a certain position in salvation because Paul went to the Jew first. So they were Jewish believers at the time. Well, the Jews were committed to the ordinances of the law. They were committed to dietary constraints that are in the law. In other words, let's just take our church here, go back in time, and say we had a dozen or so Jews among us that were practicing those things. We got dinner on the grounds coming March 1st. Well, folks, us Gentiles, we're going to have some stuff to eat. All right? We're going to have things that we like that's against the law, the dietary law that's in the Bible, in Moses' command. They couldn't eat shellfish. I mean, what do we have for our conference every year? We have crawfish. Some people fix dishes with shrimp. Those things the Jew could not eat. So imagine these Jews if they were here and they were upholding that. It was an offense to them. It would cause them to stumble, Paul says in Romans. And so consequently, they're watching this. Well, as Paul's ministry progressed, the Jews kind of faded out of the scene because they rejected Paul. He would have been killed if he had stayed in Jerusalem. So the Spirit of God removed him out. And now the Lord tells him, I'm going to send you far hence unto the Gentiles. And when he does that, the latter writings of Paul begin to change. And this letter to Timothy is one of the latter writings where more and more Gentiles now will be saved and the Jews fade out. Folks, you can't hardly find a saved Jew. I personally don't know of one. I don't. Does anybody in here know a saved Jew? That you know they're saved. What happened? It went into the Gentile world. And so Paul comes along and writes this letter towards the end of his ministry, and he says in verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So every creature of God is good. That should bring a woohoo to you guys, okay? You can eat what you can eat, and it's no violation of any law. Unless the doctor gave you a law and say, stay off fried food, you know. Well, that was a shocker. You know, caught up with me, right? I've sedated you really well and everything. Sleep on. No, I'm just kidding. But you see, the changeover it had made here, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. However, the church, the body of Christ, always is faced with challenges. The wiles of the devil is called in Ephesians 6. And the same thing holds true here, as the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let me tell you, the seducing spirits, nothing new. It didn't start with Paul. It didn't start with the body of Christ. It's nothing new. Matter of fact, turn back to Leviticus. And look in Leviticus chapter 19. Look in Leviticus 19 and look in verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, see small s, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now if you would, look in Leviticus 20 and look in verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Look down in, let's see, I don't know. Look in Deuteronomy. Look in chapter 18. Let me see here. I want to look at something real quick, guys. Okay, yeah, Deuteronomy 18, look in verse 9. When thou art come to the land which the Lord God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So he lists a number of things there, and we've seen the familiar spirits. You see at the end of verse 11, the necromancer, which has to do with seeking out the dead, all right? And so it'd be the so-called seance type thing that you supposedly have. Well, so the seducing spirits in 1 Timothy, like I said, is nothing new. This thing goes all the way back to this point in time where they had familiar spirits. And so what would happen is you would have an individual, pretty much a medium type person, that they would go to and they would call upon the dead. And the dead would supposedly communicate and talk through that individual. And so you sitting out there would talk to them and they would convey the message back and just have conversation with the dead. Necromancer, that's what it's all about. And familiar spirits, the words that are coming out. And so you see what this has an effect on. It's an abomination to the Lord because it is not the Spirit of God. It's not the Word of God. And so consequently, they would go there and try to get information about their future and where they're going. Not too much different today. But it doesn't match up with the Word of God. It is not God's Word. And so consequently, it was an abomination to them. And then it says in verse 10, Deuteronomy 18:10, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." Well, there was a god at that time called Molech, which, by the way, his name means king. He was the king of the gods. Well known, all the heathen nations worshipped him, and they had a ceremony at times, and I don't know what time of the year it was, maybe December 25th, and they would build a fire to Molech, and the nations who honored him would bring their newborn and sacrifice their child, boy or girl, into the fire. Give it up to Molech. I know that sounds awfully harsh to us today, particularly, you know, a country that has authorized abortions, but, you know, so don't think anything is too out of our character. And so they'd do that. Well, guess what Israel got caught up in? Sacrificing their kids. It's an abomination. And all that stuff going on. All of the wizards, familiar spirits, necromancer, all gone on. Molech is mentioned here, the fire, all the way to Jeremiah. You find the mention of Molech and the abomination of offering your kids to the fire of Molech. I mention that in regard to our life. Who's going to live long in here? Yeah, what is long? Oh, 90. I'm going to live to 90. Really? That's long? I'm 58. I wouldn't say. Thank you for being here this morning. You figure it out from here on. I was saved in 1980. So my... Woo. I get a woo. I don't even get a who, I get a woo. I'll add it, who, woo-hoo. Anyhow, thanks for knocking the ice off. When you think about it, from 1980 till now, it's not really long as far as being saved. And look at the challenges you face holding your faith faithful to yourself, staying with the faith, being committed to it, following it, and things of that nature. My point in mentioning that is we have a short time. Doesn't matter if I live till 90 or 100. That's still a short time. Israel, from the time of Molech being mentioned here to Jeremiah, it was a period of time of 861 years. They never could get over it. They never could. They never could remove the gods of the nations from themselves. Hence, it was always a stumbling block. Always a stumbling block. I want you to consider today, what are the words of today that you hear from the preachers? Since I've got a little time behind me now, I got some rearview mirror spots being far removed from the day I got saved, I can look back and recall some things. I can look back and recall that in the 70s, before I was saved, but I saw it out there, then once I got saved and started learning the Bible, through the 80s for sure, I saw where there was a turn in this country. I saw a turn in the independent Christian community. The non-denominational churches which sprang up big time. And the preachers at that time were promoting themselves by having what they called the Holy Ghost and utilizing the Holy Ghost. And by utilizing the Holy Ghost, they're tapping in through the Holy Ghost to God direct. And consequently, they would stand up there and give this air of like being possessed, which they are, they don't realize it, of being possessed and then acting just like one with a familiar spirit. I'm the Lord thy God. I am a holy God. You follow me. And that's what they would do. I imagine you can YouTube these characters. Go find some of their stuff. And so consequently, it went from speaking in behalf of God to the healings got big and took over. Which there were no healings at all taking place. They found on a consistent level, and when I say they, both people who were not associated with the church that had questions about it, all the way up to the FBI, found without fail this was nothing more than a scam operation. Someone comes in, crutches, can't hardly walk. So after they do all their familiar spirit show, they're still in that category. You know, they still maintaining that character about themselves. If you're in here and you need healing, the Lord thy God said, step forward and I will heal you. So a guy comes up there on crutches and can't hardly make it up there. And he does all the show and does put his hands on the head and, oh, I'm the Lord that God that healeth thee. And bops them and they fall over and lay there. Then this guy who came up on crutches gets up, walks around. He says, let me see you jump. And he jumps. Let's see you run. And he runs. Hallelujah! That's the work of the Spirit here. That's the work of a mafia Christian outfit. Amen. That is the... Huh? That guy, when that preacher takes his show on the road, guess who shows up? The same guy with the same crutches. Same game, just new players. And everybody walked into that church with either men with a wallet or women with a purse. And that's what they're after, folks. But don't think for a moment that that stuff didn't hurt our community and the mindset of the lost by what they did. Because what happened was it showed the fallacy and the lies and the deceitfulness of these people that went around titled a Christian, and a lost person look at it and goes, that's fake. That ain't happening. So you take the Word of God out there, the truth of the gospel, and they don't want any part of it. It hurt our country. It hurt. And they skate off multimillionaires. Shame on them. Well, let me tell you something. If this was Old Testament, sometimes I wish it was. The Lord told Israel, if a man prophesy in my name and says for something that is going to come to pass, and it doesn't come to pass, he's going to be cut off. You know what cut off is? Killed. Jesus Christ was cut off. And Israel's like, well, how do we know if the prophet that is prophesying is of you? The words he's saying, how do we know it's of you? Moses said, when he prophesies a thing, the Lord speaking through Moses, and it come not to pass, then it's not of me. He said, fear him not. Don't be afraid of him. The Lord takes care of him. The Lord will take care of him. Today, any preacher has the freedom to preach and say what he wants to preach and say. I don't like it because it's deceitful. What is it? Seducing spirits. It's words that lead people astray from the truth of the Word of God. That is the filth in all of this. That is the filth that's going on today. It's the iniquity. And Paul gave warning to Timothy that in the latter times, people are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to these things. And you know what? They go there and they have wonderful music service. Oh, I got to tell you, I go to that church just for the music. Don't you have Pandora? Don't you have a radio? Don't you have satellite TV that has 3 million music channels? Well, the preacher, his character is just, I just feel so good after that. Well, what do you know? What have you learned? What do you have that you can carry through this life into the next life? You go to those people, and the shame of it is this. You ask them, you going to heaven when you die? I hope so. I mean, I go to such and such church. Wow. So you're hoping. That's the best you got is a roll of a dice, the pull of a slot machine arm. You're gambling with your eternity on a hope, not a confident hope, a maybe. And this is what you get from them. This is what they're producing. People who have no surety about their eternal life. Folks, I got a bevy of sins in my life. I got the old flesh. But you know what I got in this old flesh? The hope of eternal life. The confidence. The Spirit of Christ dwelling in me. And in you, if you've trusted in Christ. Yeah, I like music. I like all kinds of music. I like the stuff we do here. We don't have a band. We don't have a choir. But I like the words of the song. I like having victory in Jesus, by the way. Israel faced it, and guys, we're facing it too. It's out there. Unless you live in a little shell, and you're that nut in that shell, how do you not know? How do you not know? Look in 1 Samuel. Chapter 28. In this account, the king of Israel at this time was a man named Saul. God did not appoint Saul to be king. The people chose Saul. Wasn't God's choosing. The prophet of Saul's day was a man named Samuel. Saul and Samuel did not get along. It wasn't that Samuel was a mean prophet. Oh, he spoke so harsh. The problem was Saul was a disobedient king to the word of God. And it didn't resonate very well with Samuel the prophet. They did not get along because of that. Samuel has died. The prophet died, which puts Saul in a fix. I mean, when you cut the preacher out, you're on your own. It's a tough position, and Saul knows this. So let's look at something where Saul could be patted on the back with. Let's throw Saul, who was disobedient to God, his little credit here, and pat him on the back. 1 Samuel 28, verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. Now watch. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Pat him on the back. He did exactly what should have been done in accordance to the law. God's will was carried out by Saul. Yay, Saul. Good going, Saul. You did right. You got rid of those that had familiar spirits. You got rid of those wizards. You ran them out the land. You cleaned them up. Samuel's dead. Let's read on. Verse 7. Well, verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. You didn't have a prophet. You rejected my prophet. It doesn't say that, but that's what happened. Neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Now, he's disguised, right? He goes at night. Why do you think he's disguised? He just ran them out of the city. He cleaned the land out. So if you can clean the land out, what are you doing going over there? The union of wizards and familiar spirits is very powerful. It's kind of like our car union. You get sideways with them, you might want the Lord covering your back, which he didn't have. So he disguised himself. Verse 9, and the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? So she thinks, if I'm going to do this and word gets out, Saul's coming after me to kill me. When it's Saul, she's telling this to. And Saul, verse 10, swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. You know why she cried with a loud voice? Because the first time in her familiar spirit, wizardry, necromancer business, it worked. Saul came up and it scared her to death. You know, though, what was that show? Bullwinkle, you know? Y'all remember that? And they had the wizard segment on it, I think. And now, pull a line out of my hat. And could you see a magician, you know, does something like that? I pull a line out of my hat and a rabbit comes out and everybody's, ooh, how'd a rabbit get in his hat, you know, type thing. Well, wouldn't it freak him out if he goes, I'm going to pull a line out of my hat and a lion comes out? Kind of freak him out, all right, because I wasn't in the skit. Same thing here. Samuel coming up was not in the play, but it happened. So she screams. And in verse 13, and the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sayest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, now I don't get this. I saw gods ascending out of the earth. That's kind of freaky. I don't have a grip on that. Sorry. Verse 14, and he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. He should have done that while Samuel was here, alive, but he didn't. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? So you see, he wanted to get Samuel up to get a little advice, and it's not working here. So he went and pursued that which he kicked out of the land. He went to the familiar spirits. He went to the woman there at Endor to seek that which he rejected. Saul was not a good king. He went after familiar spirits, so it corrupted him as an individual. And folks, let me tell you something. Those today that claim to have the Holy Ghost, and they speak in behalf and in the power of the Holy Ghost, are corrupting people today. Same way, same style. It's all done in the name of Jesus. It's all done with that Christian view, that, you know, the little fish sign and what would Jesus do and hallelujah and all this other stuff. But they're doing the same thing. And you go check it out. You check out the gospel that they preach. If you think they're preaching the gospel that Paul preached, you're sad. Don't assume that, because you're sadly mistaken. They're not. They're preaching another gospel. And Paul said in Galatians, well, let's turn there to close out. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That's very strong words, to be accursed. It literally means to be damned. Paul says there's another gospel there, and what they do is they take the gospel that Paul preached and they pervert it, they twist it. Sure, they talk about Christ being on the cross and dying and being buried and raised again, but the truth of the gospel is you trust in that and that alone, and that's how you're saved, folks. So what do? They amend it. They'll tell you Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again, but, boy, when they attach a but to it, you be ready. Be ready. But you've got to repent of your sins. You can't just go out there and live the life the way you want to live your life. Well, you got to watch what you do. You got to live like Christ would live. And not that any of that is bad suggestions, but it's not the gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. And what does it come from? Seducing spirits. And today, there are millions of people, many of them are our family members, many of them are our friends, that go to this type of thing, and they listen to this, and they have no confidence in salvation. The thing that gravitated me back in the day to Berean was a fact that I went in there lost, I heard the truth of the gospel, and I did get saved, but I had the surety of salvation. Amen. It wasn't guesswork anymore for me. That ain't happening at these other churches. It's not happening. Do you have the surety of your salvation? We gather here, and people, you leave out of here knowing two things. You're either lost or you're saved. One of the two. That's the only two categories you fall in. Have you trusted the Lord? Because this could be the end of it. Be the last day, whether you die or the rapture comes. This is your moment. It's quiet time. You're in time out by God to give you the opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't trust, you die and go to hell, it's your fault because God did everything through Christ to secure you and bring you up with Him. Trust in the Lord and be saved. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the salvation we have. And that is so simple in Jesus Christ and what He did for us. I pray if there's any here watching this broadcast that has never trusted in Christ, that they do so today so that they can be saved. Lord, for those of us that are saved, we give you thanks for our salvation. We didn't do anything to earn it. You gave it to us as a free gift through Jesus Christ our Lord by faith. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.